Turn now in your Bibles to 1 Timothy 5. We'll especially be looking at verses 3 through 8 this evening. Let's hear God's word. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. Now our text, honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now the rest of the chapter, beginning at verse 9, do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. But refuse the younger widows, for when they had begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some have already turned aside after Satan. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. Let the elders who rule well be accounted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the Scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow after. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. May God bless His word to us this evening. We looked the last time at proper treatment of people in the congregation. Actually, that's what we're looking at in general. We looked particularly at older men, younger men, older women, younger women. Now we're going to look at a subset of older women here, those who are widows, and in that day there were many of them. Many of them. Even in our own day, there tend to be more widows than widowers because women tend to live longer. If they survive through childbearing, they live longer than men. Why that is, why there are many reasons. There were reasons back then, there are reasons now. Suffice it to say that oftentimes widows today are not treated very well, and in those days they were not treated very well either. This is why God had to speak through Paul to not only Timothy, but to the people there in Asia and to the Church of Jesus Christ in all days. We are to treat our relations properly, and he looks particularly at widows here. Let's look at a couple of things. First of all, we read in verse 3, honor widows who are really widows. And how do we know what he means by that? Well, we look down a couple of verses to verse 5. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. Now, in those days, widows often had a hard time. They were not working, and there might not be much of an income stream for them. Especially older women. When people get older, it's hard for them to work as well. We all know this. Get tired more easily, and it's harder to get things done. In contrast to the way that elderly widows were treated often then and still are now, the church is to give them honor. Now this goes right along, of course, with the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Why? That your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives to you. All right, we are to honor our parents. But as our catechisms bring out, the scriptures teach that there is a lot more involved there. And in particular application here, it is to honor older people, and very much in particular, here are the older widows. They must be given not the little tag ends of things, and not just a little bit of a, hi, how you doing? They must be given high respect and consideration. Now, it's the younger women who often get all the attention, especially from the younger men, because they are pretty, they are sexually attractive, they are nice to be looking at. And the old ladies, well, you know, that's what we have a tendency to say. The young ladies, why they're fashionable. The young ladies, why they're interesting. The old women, well, you know. That is the attitude we have, but that is not the scriptural way. Again, we read all over the place in Scripture of the honor that's to be given to those who are old. The respect that's to be given to those who are old. The almost reverence, not as we would give to God, but a proper respect and honor. Looking ahead to verse 17, we see that. It's a very similar sort of wording when speaking of the elders of the church. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Just as you would honor an elder of the church in the same way, maybe not to the same degree, but certainly in the same quality, you are to be honoring all elderly people, and particularly here in this connection, these widows. Now you know that the scriptures have much to say on the treatment of widows. And we just saw as we were singing from Psalm 68 that God Himself is the pattern of this. He is the father to the fatherless, we sang. He is the helper of the widows. He does not neglect them. We see this in Psalm 146, which we're going to be singing after a bit. Helps the fatherless and widow, but subverts the sinner's way, we shall sing. This was a concern of the early church. Why was it that the church was moved by God to start up having deacons? It was to enable the caring for of the widows, particularly those who were of Gentile descent. The ones who were of Jewish ancestry were being taken care of by their families, but the ones who were of Greek or otherwise Gentile descent, why, they didn't have others to look after them. And so the apostles and the elders were doing so and were being kept from, because it took a lot of effort, they were being kept from their work of prayer and of study and of preaching and teaching. And so the deacons were called for, the deacons were chosen, the deacons were elected, the deacons were ordained to do their work of caring, among other things, for the needs of the widows. Now this honoring and care by the church, as we have read here, was to be for those truly devoid of other help. We'll get into this in a minute. But the church is supposed to be caring for those who have no other help. As we see here in verse 5, widows in such a case are dependent upon God. Now, this doesn't mean that they expect care packages to be parachuting out of the sky or for God to reinstitute the giving of manna. No, not only has God ordained that they be cared for, but He has ordained the means by which they are to be cared for, and we, His children, are that means. If there is indeed a widow who has no family, and sadly this would happen sometimes, her husband would be gone and all her children as well. She would be alone with no one to take care of her. In that case, we in the church are to be doing so. Now, thankfully, that is not the most common sort of widow. Far more common are those who do have those to help look after them. And we see them spoken of in verses 4 and 6. In verse 4 we read, "If any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God." We also read about those who are rather ungodly about things. "She who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives." Well, what we've just said about helping the widows who have no support and the church steps in and helps does not apply with those who have relatives. He mentions children and grandchildren here, but we might also talk about nephews and nieces. Now, sadly, this being what God commands is resisted. I'm sure it was resisted back then. It's resisted now. In fact, we even see elderly people not wanting this to happen. They're not wanting their children to take care of them. They do not want their children to have to waste their resources, as they say. And what a wicked attitude on the part of these elderly people. What a wicked attitude it is in their children and grandchildren. Elderly people who say, "Someone else must take care of me. I don't want to burden my children." Whether it be trying to get it from others through the government or others from the church. Why, when they do this, it keeps their children and their grandchildren from being able to exercise their own ministry gifts. And how many times have we seen this? How many times have we been guilty of this ourselves? Where someone will try to help us and will say, "Oh, no, no, no. No, you shouldn't do that." I've had to deal with, for example, an elderly widow in my previous congregation years past who just delighted to serve others. But when she needed help, she refused to take it. And I had to say to this dear mother in Jesus Christ, "Look, you were happy to help others, and it was a blessing to you to get to help others and to show them the love of Jesus. And you got to delight in using your gifts. Now, are you going to keep somebody else from that? Really? Oh, I hadn't thought of it that way." And as I get a little older now, people try to do nice things for me, and it's real easy for me to step into the same way of thinking. "Oh, no, no, don't bother with me." No. No. Let them help. Let them help. Keeping the children and grandchildren or nephews and nieces from helping out denies them the privilege of showing love in a sacrificial way, which is an emulation of Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes the motivation is a right one. We don't want to be taking away from others who need it more. And it's a mistaken notion, but it's and a mistaken understanding, but it's not a wrong motivation. But sometimes There is a wrong motivation. That wrong motivation can come from a deep and prideful clinging to self-sufficiency. Being dependent for some people is humbling, and they see it as demeaning. That is a wicked attitude. Refusing to take help from your children and taking it from others leads to other people's children having to do the caretaking, whether they be other church members or taxpayers. Now, this is all talking about a widow or other elderly people who may be otherwise living in a godly way. But there are some who are characterized by living in pleasure, being dead while she lives, there in verse 6. That's another unworthy class. Elderly people, or widows in particular, who lives for pleasure. Now, you have seen these people. You have seen these people. Perhaps you've seen them, say, on I-75, tootling down the expressway in a big RV, perhaps, or something of the sort, with a bumper sticker merrily proclaiming, "We're spending our children's inheritance." And this is great hilarity and all. Actually, it is a great sinful attitude. Who shall care for them? Taxpayers? Church members? And what shall they leave as an inheritance? Our Lord Jesus Christ died that His children might inherit life. I fear this attitude from things I read in the papers and see on the internet. Studies are going around that people of my generation, the so-called boomer generation, are going to be horribly guilty about this. Nah, we're not going to leave our children anything. Let them do like we did and make life ourselves, as if people of our generation did that. The generation before us, the so-called greatest generation, and they were in many ways, had a fault. As a group, they were too indulgent of us. And we have been glad to take all that and keep what we have. It's sad. Even if a person has huge wealth, why, we are to be using that, even in our old age, for the glory of God. Not strictly our own pleasure. This is not to say that when you are up in years and you've been able to give over some of your work, by the way, I'm not sure I see much of any justification in Scripture for retirement, but other than medical, if you're able to work, you should be working. It could be that God calls you to a different kind of work, certainly. But in any case, what I'm getting to is this. We are to be using our wealth to the glory of God. I know of a godly couple who are up in years, who have a big old RV. Now, they don't have that bumper sticker on the back. And they are both retired, and we'll put that in quotation marks. Retired from their former jobs. And they travel all around the country. But they are doing ministry. All kinds of ministry to the glory of God. Now, they're enjoying the travel. And there is nothing in Scripture that says that that's wrong in and of itself. But they're consciously seeking to bless other Christians and use what wealth they have and take what help they need from their children and their grandchildren. And they are happy to be serving the Lord's people, happy to be serving Jesus Himself with what they have. In general, what should we do with our relations? Needy people, perhaps. We read that in verses 7 and 8. These things command that they may be blameless, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, what I've been saying has been kind of unpopular in our society today. But we can't get away from the commandment given to Timothy and the commandment that's given to all elders to instruct you in these things. We must see that we must not be greedy and foolish. Dependence on others to care for your own is just plain irresponsible and makes a profession of faith not to be a credible one, but an incredible one. As Paul says here, it's rather worthy of excommunication. We should not encourage such an attitude ourselves. Let us, who are growing older, be looking to our children and not be burdening others. Let us, if we don't have those descendants, be looking to God, and let us, saints, be looking to care for these. And in every case, may it be that we will be a blessing to those who are elderly. May it be that we will show them honor and respect, that we will show them love and care. And as we do so to our mothers and our fathers, that we will also do so to our Father in heaven, through them giving Him the greatest honor, through them to Him giving the greatest respect and giving the greatest awe and adoration. Amen. We'll close up this evening by singing from Psalm 146a. Now, as I mentioned, this speaks of taking care of God, caring for the fatherless and widow there in stanza 6. Well, Jehovah loves the righteous. To the stranger is a stay, helps the fatherless and widow, but subverts the sinner.